That's why I don't go to strip clubs anymore. It's Thursday, June 18th, 2020. You're listening to Down the Rabbit Hole with Joe and Brian. I'm Brian. He's Joe. Joe, how you doing?
I'm well, and yourself?
Oh, I can't complain. No one would listen anyway.
No, they wouldn't. But that's good to know.
Yeah. I'll tell you, man, I don't know if I'm going to make it to 2021, though. We're only halfway there, and it don't stop.
No, it doesn't. But you know,
that's good for us.
Yeah, it's very good for us. I mean, it makes show prep really easy. It's almost effortless.
It almost writes itself. As long as we don't go insane trying to parse it all out, you know.
Yeah, no. They're not paying us enough for that.
No,
they are not.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's jump into this. First of all, what did the bartender bring you tonight?
Well, I am drinking it's mango peach with a little bit of, what's this stuff called? The stuff that makes you, proud men bashful. Tequila. That's what it is.
Tequila. El Diablo juice.
Oh, the fire water? Oh, that was whiskey.
That's whiskey, yeah. Tequila. Good stuff.
Yeah. Good stuff and bad for you.
Well, depending on who you talk to.
Yeah. Well, and what level you're drinking, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
What about yourself?
You know, I'm not bringing it. It's I'm just drinking iced coffee tonight.
Boring.
I know, man.
Oh, my goodness, Mr. Newman.
And it's not even real iced coffee. It's. I had for lunch today. I made breakfast, eggs and pancakes and sausage, and so I made some coffee to go with that. But I only took a couple sips out of it, so I stuck the rest of it in the fridge, and so I just dumped my old coffee into the shaker with some ice, and
voila,
coffee.
Do you add creamer to your iced coffee?
Half and half. I try to stay away from sugars as much as I can, but sugars are everywhere, as you know. But
yeah.
If I don't have to add extra sugar to stuff like coffee, I try not to.
So you drink your coffee with half and half with no sugar?
Right, just half and half.
That's man stuff. Ugh.
Well, I don't know. Man stuff would be just drinking it black, but I can't do that. I gotta take the edge off with some half and half. But yeah, it's all good.
I had a girlfriend that used to drink coffee black, and that was terrible.
Yeah, I think if I had a girlfriend who drank coffee black, she would just be like the one who wore the pants in the relationship.
Yeah. No, she. It's like
that logic makes no sense. I don't even know why.
It's like dating a smoker. It was because the breath. Oh, terrible.
Oh no, you got it. Got to go brush your teeth after the morning coffee.
Yeah, let's not go down that rabbit hole.
No, we got better things to talk about.
Bigger fish to fry.
Yeah.
Oh. What do you have? What's in play?
Well, I think what we'll do, like this is what we always do. We start the show off. We got to do an update on Ahmaud Arbery in Georgia. Surprise, surprise! Even more information is coming out.
Shocking.
Shocking. And this information,
Did this information totally exonerate the McMichael?
Yeah, totally.
Totally. Okay.
No, this one takes all as if the three shotgun blasts left any doubt.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but I'm sure there were people who were like, yeah, but you didn't see all the video, and he attacked them, and da 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 da. Yeah, I'm sure people were saying that, right?
Oh, they were for sure. But anyway, I only have a screenshot. This is a screenshot that I sent you. I couldn't find a link to the original article, but this should be enough. And I don't know who. There's someone in this story called, his last name is Dial, like the soap. But it says here, Dial confirmed there's additional video of Arbery trying to leave, but that Brian tried to block Arbery multiple times.
Now, Brian's the
that's the guy.
That's
the guy who was filming.
Oh yeah, yes, the guy that was arrested after the other two guys.
Correct. Yeah, and the judge ruled during Thursday's probable cause hearing that the cases against all three defendants could advance to the trial court. So that's all I have, but I mean, that's just huge. I mean,
so state clearly what it is. So there's video showing,
apparently, of him trying to avoid being shot, and this guy preventing him from. I mean, there's a legal term for that, right? I don't know, almost
accessory,
almost kidnapping or
false imprisonment.
Yeah, false imprisonment, I think. Yeah, that's
when you hem a guy up, like, oh, I can't, you know, I can't really move about, I'm falsely imprisoned.
Yeah, yeah. So, it just looks like we're going more and more towards getting justice.
I want to sound like a pessimist. I mean, until...
Whoa, you're the glass half full, Joe.
I know. Like, until they are, you know, looking for their veins to tap the...
oh, my God.
for the lethal inject? No. I mean, but I can still see this going south so many ways. I mean, once the lawyers get a hold of it and it goes to court, I mean, they might actually, you know, charge Arbery with assault. You know, this.
Well,
how crazy things are. I mean, if in 2020 that could happen. They're like, yeah, we have a video of you being shot, but you know, you have some culpability there.
I can't dismiss that, but you jogged my memory on something. I know we thought there wasn't anything to really talk about with the George Floyd case, but the one thing that when you said that, the one thing that popped into my mind is, and I've heard other, this isn't a Brian original, I'm no lawyer, but I heard someone talking about that they're like pumping up the charges, beefing up the charges against these cops to where it is conceivable that.
So yeah. they may be like, oh yeah, we're gonna try and hit them with murder one, but murder one requires a level of premeditation and that, you know, that simply can't be proved, and so these guys are gonna walk.
Exactly.
I've heard something similar that they'll overcharge people on purpose because they realize, yeah, the person's dead, but the burden of proof, the elements aren't there to support it, so you know. When can you say Mr. Chauvin was premeditated in his killing of Mr. Floyd?
Right.
But there is case law behind that. I think it, you know, premeditation can be formed in it, can be formed in an instant, and it's a matter of fact for the for a jury to decide if he was premeditated. And so you're right. I mean, a lot of these, this is likely going to be a you know, you need a unanimous vote to convict. And there's going to be somebody who sees, you know, the shades of gray and for whatever reason can't bring himself to commit, and Chauvin's going to walk. You know what? I mean, Chauvin may not walk, but, you know, some of those guys are going to walk. I feel that strongly. And I hope I'm wrong.
You know what? I hate to say this, but the severity of the charges are probably going to decrease the further you go from the neck to the butt.
Yeah, fair enough.
The guy that was just standing on his butt, he might get the easiest.
What, manslaughter? Or, you know, battery? What?
Yeah, whatever. What? Yeah, battery. I don't know. I felt dirty even saying that.
I mean, yeah.
But, you know. But then again, we don't know. We still don't know to the extent of their acquaintance before all this happened. So
it's funny because, you know, the same media that was able to find out that Mr. Arbery had, you know, brought a gun to school supposedly 7 years prior to his murder still hasn't been able to find out, you know, if these two guys knew each other.
Well, the glass half full Brian is hoping that maybe the investigation is keeping that kind of information close to the vest so that nothing is, you know, because I'm sure that they're going to go through, they're going to, when they go to find a jury for this, that it's going to be hard to find.
Yeah, you're going to find some mountain men of, you know, in the hills of Minnesota someplace. I'm sure they'll.
I don't know about Minnesota, man. I've never been there. So
yeah, but I mean, you know, it's you. Part of me, when I think of Minnesota, I think of people that are very hardy, and if for no other reason, it's because it's so damn cold up there. I mean, it can get
but
to like
there, Minnesota's like below a really, zero. Really, it's like a really, really blue state, though, man. So. It can't have gotten that way by a bunch of rednecks living there.
You can have a bunch of rednecks living someplace, and if they don't show up to vote.
Well, if one of, surely out of our millions of listeners, we got someone from Minnesota who should write in and tell us what Minnesota's like.
I've been to Minnesota once. One of the coldest places I've ever been, with some of the nicest people. And then, have you ever heard the show of what's it called again? Prairie Home Companion.
No, I have not.
It's a show I used to listen to with my mom back when I was a kid on Saturdays on a public radio. Garrison Keillor, probably the ugliest man on radio, but you wouldn't know because it's radio. But yeah, he did this show, and it was like a variety show, and it was, you know, supposed to be about this place in Minnesota called Lake Wobegon. It's supposed to be like, you know, a little idyllic town. It was a good show. But,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, just one more thing on that is if we want to step back and look at this from the conspiracy aspect, I can envision a well-timed acquittal of these guys right around election time so we can go through these riots part two.
If they were acquitted around election time, wow.
Yeah.
It'd be just, yeah. Wow.
Well, let's jump back down to Georgia. I don't know of anything else other than the it just looks more and more like they really did.
Well, I mean,
track this kid down and with bad intentions.
Well, I mean, yeah, it seemed like the original story was, oh, we were doing, you know, mm-hmm. a citizens on patrol, citizens yep. arrest of this, you know, this kid. But you're right. Yep. The more and more we find out, it's as if these guys were, you know, just sitting around looking for trouble. And then, you know, Mr. Arbery just so happened to be taking his jog, and they're like, yep, that's what we ride on.
I'm kind of glad that we started following this from the beginning and that we're able to almost like chronologically watch the case has changed from the initial report to where we're at now. It's just kind of, you know, and it's, I think it happens on probably most cases. Things are never the way they're initially reported.
Yeah, I buy that. There's the initial shock. Oh my God. And in that initial shock, probably, I don't know, between 75 and 80% of the facts that come out are, you know, possibly the truth. But then you find out there are all these various other shades that were in the original story that aren't part of it, aren't really the truth.
Yep. All right. Well, let's move on. So I think playing off of last week's show, I think we're going to have a new segment for this show, and it's going to unimaginatively be named Copaganda Alert. I can't think of anything better. So
too many syllables.
I'm surprised that I got that out without tripping over myself.
Or needing a gas mask. Copaganda.
So now that I'm aware of the concept of copaganda, we're seeing it everywhere.
Some things you can't unsee. Once you learn it, once you know.
Yeah. Now my first one I sent you just a text because I couldn't find an article on it. It was just a segment on a news segment on my morning local news.
Before we go into the story is, maybe we should go over the definition of copaganda.
Okay. Yeah.
I got it here conveniently for us.
Oh, excellent. Because I was panicking there.
No worries. Copaganda. Defining that as any news story that uncritically advances a police department's image or helps undermine reform efforts. Okay. With that in mind, what's going on?
Yeah, I have two of them. The first one, you're just going to have to take my word on. But it was an entire segment on my morning news where it was about a police officer helping little kids put up a net on their basketball court. And the image was great. It was this cop standing there and a skinny little black kid standing on his shoulders, reaching up with a net in his hands so it was very gave the news anchors, you know, some
like a warm and fuzzy.
Yeah, exactly. and they played it up nicely.
What was the officer's name, did they say?
I didn't, you know, it was one of those things really where I wasn't aware that I was being copagandized until it was like halfway through. I was like,
wait a second. Minute,
this is what we just talked about. And so I couldn't.
Bastards are always at work. Always.
I think I'm going to start DVRing the morning show so that I can have the luxury of going back and getting that kind of information.
You're gonna waste a lot of good DVR space with a.
I do Google or YouTube TV, And I don't know. I think I basically have unlimited DVR space, but I'm pretty sure they cycle it. Or if anything, they cycle it out, you know, like delete the oldest and whatnot. So I say that, but I probably won't do that either.
Well, I mean, I mean, this will probably, you know, like you said, we're going to do our top five Copaganda pieces toward the end of the year. So
yes, that's going to be fun.
Yeah. Stay tuned, listeners.
So my example number two, and I just came across this.
Quick question.
Yes.
The skinny black kid in the first Copaganda story, did he have a fro or dreads or something like that?
I'm sorry, I didn't pay that close of attention. But you know what? I'll bet he probably did.
One thing down to me, like, you know, I think it's like a prerequisite that in order to be black and on television, you have to have, like, big hair.
Wow.
But, you know, that's just me.
I can't argue.
Well, I mean, I can funny. Be totally wrong about that, but
it's,
I mean...
Well, I think it's funny because it's probably true. They love stereotypes.
Yeah, I mean, you just can't have a regular 9-to-5 Joe six pack, or Tyrone six pack, you know, going to work. No. He's got to be something extra.
You know, and probably even a worse representation is when they put black women on the street to talk about something. It's I'll say, but they also do that with, it's even, maybe it's a class thing, I don't know, because
what are you referring to?
Well, just anytime you just think of the worst stereotypes of a black woman that you get from television or movies, mm-hmm. or whatnot, and that's just whenever they interview those for whatever reason, in response to a shooting or in response to this or that, it's just always like, it seems like the most exaggerated stereotype of that they could find.
They actually did a bit about that on Living Color years ago, where they're like, oh yeah, so-and-so, you know, something terrible happened. And then they have the newscaster up there, and then, like, you know, there's like, you know, a black PhD who knows about this stuff, and then there's, you know, another black guy who specializes in that type of stuff, and then they literally step over those two to find the, you know, the most outlandish, you know, stereotype they can, and they interview that person. But yeah,
the Wayans brothers were really ahead of their time for
Living Colors.
Yeah, and for, they done a lot of, I mean, their show was hilarious, but there was a lot of social commentary in their shows as well.
How long did that show last? I mean, it seemed like it lasted much longer than it actually did.
It did. It's one of those shows that it seemed like it was just always there, but I don't know how many seasons it really made it.
There might be something to look up later.
Yeah. But anyway.
But it's funny because It probably is a good idea to be mindful of the images that are brought to bear when, you know, yeah, I mean, in terms of, kind of like what you said, like, you know, they put forth the worst stereotypes. And it's good to know that I'm not the only person that's seen that, but that at least one other person on Earth has as well. And so that means I'm not crazy.
You're not crazy, Joe. I'm with you. Example number two. This is an article, but this is from, it looks like, a local news station out of Denver. And it says, Denver police officers give back with compassion cruiser.
Now, do they actually say what the compassion cruiser is?
Let's see, shall we? We'll find out together.
Is it talk for, like, you know, Band-Aids or, like, you know, or... water, or, I mean, what makes it a compassion cruiser as opposed to just a car?
Let's find out, hopefully. Even in record heat, Denver police officers devoted time to giving back on Tuesday. I always like the giving back.
Mm-hmm.
They traveled to different neighborhoods in Denver in the Compassion Cruiser. Mm-hmm. Particularly during these challenging times, there are people living in underserved and under-resourced communities that need our help. We certainly want to help. We certainly want to step into that gap and help, the Denver Police Department Division Chief Ron Thomas said. And that's exactly what they did. Officers walked around the Westwood housing community, knocking on doors and offering bags filled with necessities. In total, 60 families received the bags. Yeah. It's certainly not a traditional thing to see police officers do, but we're happy to do it, Thomas said. Oh, the propaganda is strong with this one. For those who weren't at home at the time, it was a welcome surprise to return to. I just got home and I saw a bag of food and hand sanitizer and stuff on my porch, explained Alicia Abeda. I think it's nice of them to do it, to take time out. They're busy and take time out of their day.
Quick question. Did they show a picture of the bag that they left? Or?
No, I do not see any pictures.
Okay. I mean, I'm thinking like if I were to, you know, leave home, come back, and there's a bag. You know, I mean, I'm not sure if I trust it. I mean, you know, would you?
I would be Leery. Cautious as well, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Right. Compassion. Yeah. So there wasn't anything special about the cruiser, it just was filled with, you know, instead of cops, you know, just yeah, doing cop stuff, they're going out, you know, doing community service, passing out goodie bags.
Bags of food and hand sanitizer.
So they had 60 bags of food in one cop car?
I don't know the logistics, man. Maybe.
I mean, they said a compassion cruiser.
They did. They did word it. If you want to parse the words,
there's always that guy. Yep, that's me. I'm that guy.
Although, you know, they also, you might just be thinking of like the Crown Vic. Nowadays, cops, they got those, you know, big SUVs, so I could see fitting 60.
I've seen those.
In one of those.
And you're right. I specifically was thinking about the Crown Vic.
Well, that's because that's the funny mental image.
I mean, there's like several generations of people who've grown up, and that's when you say cop car, it's a yep. Crown Vic.
Yeah.
That and a taxi. Exactly.
Yeah, so that wraps up our copaganda alert.
Yeah, good. Good work.
So I'm going to add those to the list, and towards the end of the year, if we make it to the end of the year.
That sounds kind of ominous because I fully plan on living that long, but.
Well, that's the plan. But. You know me.
2020 has shown that it has a mind of its own, so to speak.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, so sliding out of copaganda, I think the next piece is something that's the very opposite of copaganda, right?
Yeah, and this is going to be interesting. You've done your research on this.
I haven't done a lot of research, but it's one of those things where.
Okay.
You know how you hear a sequence of events and you're like, wait a minute, that's all just way too, you know, way too convenient. So it's my understanding that on, what, June 6th, Muriel Bowser, had, you know, in response to Trump, had painted in very large letters, I think it can be seen from space, if you zoom in, had painted on the street, not seen from space, but Black Lives Matter. Okay?
Okay, yeah.
And so, you know, she has that painted on as the mayor, rah, 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 you know, making fun of big old, another thing that was interesting to note, this week was President Trump's birthday.
It was.
Yeah, the 14th.
Oh.
Yeah.
But my card's he's going to have, my card's going to be late.
Your card, right? But yeah. So defund the police. So the day after the Muriel Bowser had the Black Lives Matter mural put on 16th and I in Washington D.C. The very next day, you know, mysterious forces appeared and painted right next to it, defund the police. And so, you know, one, two, and then that very day, I hear President Trump talking about defund the police and about how bad an idea that was. And then you hear Joe Biden talking about defund the police. And it just struck me as like, wait a second. You've got the most secure building possibly on the face of the planet, the White House. Mm-hmm. And you have these random folks painting, you know, defund the police, and no one knows who these people were. And then all of a sudden, those words are in the mouth of the President of the United States and the other guy who's running to unseat the current President of the United States. It seemed kind of like a setup to me, where you put two things and you associate them with one another, but you use it to change the subject, so to speak. So we went from Black Lives Matter to, you know, defund the police. For somehow, because they've been spray painted on the street next to each other, those two are synonymous, and all of a sudden everybody's talking about it. And that just seemed too convenient for me. That didn't seem organic.
That's an interesting take. One thing I want to chime in with is I know that when you hear politicians and the news people talking, they use the term defund. But when you see like the actual signs of protesters and mm-hmm. rioters, it's always abolish. Huh. There's a difference, and there's a big difference between abolish and defund.
Oh, yeah. And why don't you point out that difference?
Well, I think you could defund a police department as in a way to coerce them to get their shit together.
Yeah, kind of like the Grover Norquist and suffocating the beast.
I'm not familiar. What? But I can see the
Grover Norquist is a small government activist.
Okay.
And basically his whole goal is that, you know, he wants government to be large enough that it can be drowned in a bathtub.
Hey, I like that guy.
But he's always up for cutting taxes and, you know, whatever that can be done to diminish the power of the government. But it's funny because, you know, the people who are all of his henchmen, they always tend to end up making the government bigger. Right. So he's a Republican.
So if you can control the purse strings of the department, you can get changes, I think. But when you say abolish, I read that as it's just here one day, gone the next.
Yeah, shut it down.
Right.
Yeah. When you abolish something, you want it over. And I don't think anyone really wants to, you know, abolish the police. I mean, right.
You have to wonder with the education that these people that we're seeing, and again, these people that I'm talking about are the useful idiots that think they're. That think they're making a change or whatever, but they're just being used, I believe. And I hate to even bring this up because our last podcast was we really dissected the Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, but I mean, it's funny because it doesn't even matter because no one heard it, so you can bring it up.
Well, I wish that people knew because I'll say this, but just, you know, the Black Lives Matter has went from a good idea, an organic idea, to just a, they were co-opted and taken over by globalists. And so now every time there's something that's attributed to Black Lives Matter, I'm dubious of the true intentions and these what we're seeing on the ground now, these protesters and everything. I just don't believe that it's, that they're organic, that they're just there for, because they were told to go there, and there's other forces at play. So anyway, I'm getting off point there. I lost my point, Joe. What was I saying?
You're saying something about how Joe is a great person and that.
Yeah, Joe. Yeah, and I'm lucky to have him as a friend and a.
Yeah. That's something we could all agree on.
And a co-host of a podcast.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, that's exactly what you were saying.
Oh, I was commenting on the intelligence level of these people that are out there, and I believe that maybe they do think that that getting rid of the abolishing a police department is a good idea.
Yeah, that the whole idea of abolishing the police department, like, I mean, it's funny that we're talking about this directly after the whole Copaganda piece.
Right.
Which, you know, Copaganda is usually, you know, is usually put there to, you know,
increase
the
funds.
Yeah, increase the funds and justify why we need to be spending, giving a larger piece of the pie to, you know, to the police.
Yes.
It is. I mean, it is crazy how much money we spend on the police. So let me see here. I think I saw some numbers as to how much, you know, because I remember seeing, I think it may have been Minnesota, where they were talking about how the police budget in Minnesota is like $150 million, and then, like, you know, they spent like $15 million on rehabilitation or something just totally lopsided, where you're like, yeah, what are these people's what's their priorities?
And another scary part is what they're spending that money on. You remember a few years ago, there was, the big thing was about the militarization of the police department. They're,
yes,
police buying military grade equipment from the government.
I remember the day it was an executive order that Obama put out, where they were no longer, because I think what was happening is they had all this, you know, extra gear that they were bringing home from our surplus military gear.
Right.
And he's like, oh, we have this stuff. Why don't we just give it to the police department? Which is kind of totally backwards in a way. You take this stuff that's used to, you know, conquer, destroy, and break stuff, and you're like, you know what? We need to be using this stuff at home. You know, I mean,
we want you to repurpose this to now to serve and protect with it.
Exactly. He's like, you know, it's like it doesn't even come out the mouth without sounding like odd. You know?
Yes. You can't say it without laughing.
Yeah, but at one time they were actually issuing police departments bayonets. Like, what on earth would any police department ever need a bayonet for? Like,
bayonets were used to save bullets, right?
Awful.
That's horrible.
Yeah, like, you know, every bullet expelled, that's money down the barrel. With a bayonet, you can shank away. Mm-hmm. But I mean, yeah, it's crazy. So we are within 5 years. 5 years ago, cops would have been getting bayonets.
I couldn't even imagine. Like, so you know when we used to hang out downtown,
mm-hmm.
and you'd always see cops flying around, zipping around on them little
those little things.
Yeah.
I can't even remember what those things are called now.
Oh, I know. It was on the tip of my tongue.
It'll come.
Yeah, but I'm just trying to imagine them with, you know, somehow equipped with a bayonet, a rifle, carrying a rifle around with a bayonet as they zip around patrolling downtown.
And to make them look even more like a joke.
Oh, my goodness. They were hilarious to
watch. I think those are rent-a-cops that we saw down there, too.
Oh, is that what they were?
I've
also seen them around, not just on the square, but I've also seen them on like the corners of downtown. I don't know. Man, Regardless, they were funny to watch. So yeah. So did you find those numbers or?
Yeah, I found some numbers. So yeah. Let me see here. So this an example: New York City in 2020, the NYPD budget constituted 5.7% of the city's budget, $5.9 billion out of $97.8 billion. So to fund the police in New York City, $5.9 billion.
Wow.
In 2020. Yeah, that's a lot of money.
Yeah. Now, my first reaction to this, and I think I texted it to you, when I first heard it, they were talking about abolish, and it wasn't so much about the money as it's just to get rid of. And my reaction to you was, you know, women should be terrified of that.
Yeah.
Because if you was to remove the police, just remove them from society, there would be a power void.
Power vacuum?
Yeah, a vacuum or a void in the power, I don't know, but it would be filled with probably not desirable people. You know, I mean, if a woman, I think, you know, if a woman is you know, if she's living with a man who is, you know, he hits the sauce one night and decides to start beating on her, you know, who's she going to call? Some vigilante to come and help? I mean, I don't know, man. If there's a power vacuum, something's going to fill it, and it's going to be, I'm sorry, but it's going to be men, and it's probably going to be the more aggressive of the men.
Yeah, the men who didn't make the police force.
Right. Yeah, that's pretty accurate. But that aside, I want to talk about what are the alternatives? Is there an alternative to, we just assume that we need the police department because we've always had police departments, but, you know, thinking outside the box is what companies like to do with, you know, and can we think outside the box? Is there a good alternative to the traditional police departments? And I'm kind of sprung this on you. It just kind of popped in my head, and I know you weren't prepared for this, but.
No, I like a challenge. So replace the cops and put something else in their place.
I mean, I know that people are very wary of, like, when you talk about privatizing the prison system.
Yeah, that's straight evil, in my opinion.
Yeah, okay.
Like, if you were to concentrate evil and distill it and be able to sell it,
is that the same if you was to try to privatize police forces? Is that just as bad?
I think that's actually worse.
Worse.
Because if you put a profit motive in policing, and you know, all of a sudden, you know, for every guy you get off the street, you get like a couple, a few dollars,
right,
or you know, something in exchange, that gives you, you know, gives perverse incentives and bad things are likely to come from it. So that's kind of like what the whole what was it? The prison industrial complex. Once you commoditize and let the market know that, hey, if you lock up more people, you get more money. That's what you're going to get a lot more of. And so, privatizing the police is a horrible idea, awful. So yeah, we can't do that.
What if you somehow put a limitation on it that where the car dealerships that say, hey, our people just get a flat commission or a flat salary and they don't get a commission on things, and you took the profit incentive out of it, and they got just enough money to keep the lights on and to do what they're supposed to do, kind of a thing. And it took, can you take profit out of something? And that's funny. I know you're laughing that's coming from me, but
you're right. I think anytime you have people who their life, the way they feed themselves and shelter themselves,
there's always going to be corruption. Yeah.
And I think, privatizing the police is probably the quickest way to get there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think there are any really good, I mean, probably the a different alternative, probably, not having them armed with lethal weapons.
Okay.
And just let it be known if I think the word's out. If you kill a cop, good things don't flow from that. So
true.
I think it's probably a better, instead of defunding the police, maybe you make them less lethal, because
there's a lot of weapons that they have that aren't lethal. The bean bag shotgun thing, yeah. That's always good for laughs in the movies.
Have you ever seen anyone shot with those?
No, I don't think so.
It's not as funny, but it's still pretty funny.
You do have the tasers. You have tasers. There is a lot of non-lethal things that you could use. And I'm kind of inclined to lean that way.
I mean, what about this? Instead of having, and I don't know how, but I'm sure we can find this out. Instead of having cop with real bullets, give them rubber bullets. If you're shot with a rubber bullet, you're not gonna be like, oh my goodness, this is a rubber bullet. I'm okay. I'm gonna continue. Yeah. I mean. Yeah.
Yeah.
And apparently cops are terrible shots. I mean, so many times you hear about like five cops shot at this guy. They shot 100 bullets, and he only was hit by 20. He's still dead, but those other 80 bullets went someplace.
I just ordered a pellet gun off of Amazon.
Why?
Well, it's a pistol. It looks like a real pistol.
Do they have like a large orange thing at the end of the barrel?
No, I just wanted, I don't know. I wanted some sort of, I've been thinking about this for years, but I've wanted some sort of protection, but I don't want to kill anybody.
Get a real gun and full of rubber bullets.
Can you buy I don't know. I guess you could. Can you buy rubber bullets?
Yeah.
But, doing this, I don't have to go through any background checks or anything. I can just.
Yeah, but a pellet gun is only good until it gets real, real.
Well,
you pull out that pellet gun, they're going to be afraid. But if they're thinking and they're like, wait a second, that barrel, that hole's way too small.
I think you're overanalyzing it.
Probably. If somebody's pointing a gun at me,
it legitimately looks like a real gun. You're not going to
be able to send a picture of it to me. But you're right. Yeah. If, if someone pulls what looks to be a gun, you're like, well, that's not a real gun.
You know? And I'm aiming for the face, man. It may be a pellet, but you can still lose eyes. I don't know. We'll see.
It's funny because after this whole the Ahmaud Arbery case, when I saw that video, I thought to myself, I need to go out and get a gun. It's funny how you see something on television, and yeah, it's terrible, but then you make yourself the center of it. Like, yeah, that could have happened to me.
But I think everyone should be armed. The Second Amendment applies to everyone, and everyone should take advantage of it. And I would think that I'm surprised that Black America should be the number one proponents of the Second Amendment.
The Second Amendment is a dead letter. Is a dead amendment to Black Americans. I believe that. It's one of those things that doesn't really count for us. Just like those other things, like life, liberty, and pursuit of what.
You got to explain.
The one time that the NRA stood up for banning guns was.
Well, the NRA, fuck the NRA, man.
No. Well, fair enough.
I don't know the answer, but fuck the NRA. They're not the end all be all.
No, they're not. But
you're allowed to buy guns, so go buy guns, man.
I think this is coming up on that thing we were talking about the other day. How you're like, yeah, I want to believe it. I want to help George Floyd out, and I was like, what? I said that sounded like.
So are you telling me that a black man can't go buy guns?
I didn't say that a black man can't go buy guns. I'm saying that he owns them at his peril. Philip, what's his name? The guy that was shot on Facebook Live in front of his wife and daughter, Philando Castile. He's like, hey, I've got officer, I am armed. I have a concealed carry permit. He didn't get those words out of his mouth before the cop shot him. And I'm sure you've done this before. Go online, type up, black man owning gun versus white man owning gun. And you'll see like videos of how cops respond. Like, you'll see, I'm sure you've seen the protests of protesters, walking around, showing up armed, and, they're just standing around with their guns. There's a video out there where there's a black man setting it with a gun, and literally the cops are called. They roll up, they have him get on the ground on all fours, cuff him, and then they figure out, oh, you're legal, you're all right. And it's like, why did you cuff me? But you basically just made sure the white guy didn't have any bullets in his gun. It was weird. But once you get
okay, we're getting off track here. Mm-hmm. But my point, and we definitely are going to have to discuss this later. But my point, you jump straight to violence. Guns, and that's why when just have guns for protection, and you don't, and I don't mean buy guns so that you can go to war with cops. I'm just mean,
oh, no, I mean
buy
I mean,
guns no. Because when everyone is armed. This is a bigger topic.
Yeah, when everyone is armed, you have a little bit. You take a little bit more moment of pause before you do anything. I believe that's the case.
And if we're talking about taking guns away from cops, well, then I think this is a great compromise.
What taking guns from cops and giving black people guns?
Black people, I guess, because that's what we were talking about. But people, just people. Yeah,
everybody. What were you saying? You don't own a gun.
No, because I choose not to.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it would make more sense if you were like, yeah, everybody buy guns, just like me. I've got I've got a bat cave full of guns.
Yeah. But Anyway, we're horribly off topic here.
Terrible.
So defunding the police. As far as the alternative goes, I do like the idea. I do like the idea of not getting rid of them, but taking the guns away, making them use and carry non-lethal weapons. I like that idea. I think that's actually probably the most sane idea that I've heard.
Yeah, you can still have police maybe de-lethalize.
Yeah.
In the UK, your average cop walking the beat isn't packing heat. He got a stick and maybe some mace and a whistle. But something tells me if you roll up on some English police, I'm sure they got like a radio where they can call in the heat, so to speak.
Yeah.
So I think that might be a much better way of dealing with it. You don't let every Tom, Dick, and Harry on the police force walk around with a gun, but you make sure that if they are in danger, that response is swift.
Sure.
So.
Well, let's move on. This should be pretty interesting. It's Dave Chappelle's kind of came out of nowhere. Nobody knew that this was coming. He just kind of dropped this like a little 10-minute audio a bit of stand up. Not even it wasn't stand up necessarily. It wasn't funny, but
yeah, more
go
like
ahead and tell Dave us.
Tell us about it. It was basically He dropped it like what? Oh man, let me see here. What's that? Yeah, so he dropped it like in the middle of the night, and like you said, about a 10-minute, basically him on stage, talking about it looks as if he was processing the whole George Floyd case.
Right.
And I mean. He actually looked like as if he showed up in his pajamas almost. I mean, and he basically sat on a stool and it was more of a rant than a comedy show,
right? Kind of like a stream of consciousness.
Yeah. Like if someone wanted to crawl into the mind of Dave Chappelle and see what he thought about this matter. He let us all know. And what was your initial reaction to it?
Well, unfortunately, when I watched it, I was drunk, and I don't have vivid thoughts. I don't have specific thoughts of it, but I will say. And I am going to go back and rewatch it. But what I do want to say is, Dave Chappelle he's always been very, again, like kind of like I was saying, the Wayans were very aware of what's going on. Mm-hmm. So is Dave Chappelle. You can go back to his earliest stand up and. And while he couches it in jokes, and it's like I think it's killing them softly. I think is the name of his stand up. Mm-hmm. And while it's like one of the funniest stand ups you'll ever hear, in between the lines, he's touching on this kind of thing. Of course, this one was no jokes. And just straight to the point, but mm-hmm. which may have made it more uncomfortable for people. But Dave Chappelle he's no joke. He shouldn't be discounted just because he's a comedian. He's very he pays attention to this stuff a lot.
It seemed like to me he's beyond avant-garde in this stuff. There's a cutting edge, there's a bleeding edge. Cutting edge, and then there's the bleeding edge, and then there's those guys that are way out front. And yeah, he's that guy that's way out front. And it's funny because, you know, he's the same guy who, you know, took a step back at his own comedy, what was that, 10 years ago, more than 10 years ago, when he stepped off of the Chappelle
show. His TV show.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, I don't know anyone who's like, you know, who would say something to the effect of, you know what, you know, yeah, this $40 million that I'm, you know, in the process of counting and will be going to my wallet, I don't like the way my comedy is going. And so I'm going to take a step back from that.
Yeah.
You know, there's probably only a handful of people on earth, Dave Chappelle being one of them, who would have done that.
Yeah, I would agree.
And the
things that they said about him when he did it was just horrible.
Yeah.
He was crazy. He went crazy. That's what they were saying about him. He had went crazy.
That's probably what I was saying about him too. He walked away from $40 million. This is America. We don't do that.
Yeah.
I mean, Americans, you know, we don't worship money, but the word God is on our money.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was almost un-American what he did. Of course he was crazy. Temporarily.
Yeah. But you're right. I like the way, yeah, he put himself into a class that very few people are in.
Any other comedians walking this earth today?
I'm trying to think of someone, and I'm drawing a blank. Really, I mean,
it'll come to you after the show, after post production. You'll be like, oh yeah, that guy.
If there is a guy, I mean, I can think of other people who are as funny, but there just seems to be something about. There's just something next level about Dave Chappelle's comedy that just makes him. I mean, I can think of other people who are hilarious, but he just seems to be on a different level. So,
you know whose take I want to hear on 8:46?
Who's that?
Bill Burr.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, another one of my favorite comedians.
He does a podcast. I need to go see if I can look through his archives and see if I can see something. I'm not going to listen to 40 hours of Bill Burr to find it. if I can derive it from the title or a description or something that lets me know that he might or a date, maybe I'll see what I'll try to find it.
It should be relatively easy because if you're a comedian and you're doing a podcast. I mean, he's done a lot of work for you. You know, he's given you something to talk about. You can react and respond to it. And so, we should look for that.
Yeah. I'm going to move on. There's one thing that really kind of got lost when COVID-19 hit. Which is odd because it really kind of kicked off. I think it kicked off 2020, and that is Kim Jong Un in North Korea. And I'm just wanting to know. I'm just curious what's going on, man. Because we was told that, you know, start kicking off 2020 almost, that he was on his deathbed or possibly dead.
Yeah.
And then we had that information for weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, when something like that is reported on for weeks and weeks and weeks,
yeah, usually there's some there.
Yeah, but then it's like almost instantaneously he's at, I don't know if he was at a parade or if he was at some. He made some public appearance supposedly. Now I'm not saying it was him. It could have been a lookalike or something. I don't know. But everybody stopped talking about him being sick.
Could you imagine how unlucky you'd have to be unlucky you would be to be, you know, his lookalike?
You know, there is a guy. I think he lives in South Korea or some other country, but he does look like him. And I've seen a story one time about he'll be like misrecognized for being him, but you're right. I mean, he looks just like him, but you're right. That would suck.
Yeah. Like, what have I done to deserve this?
Yeah. But while Kim was on his deathbed, they started talking about his sister seceding him. And then, like I said, he got better. And I just recently came, and I'd forgot about it. I just forgot about North Korea. But I think it was yesterday, I was looking through the headlines and I came across this headline that said Kim Jong's sister rejects South Korea peace offer, further proof that Kim Jong is dead. And I don't know, you can take that for what it is, you know, what it is, but there's a big picture of her here, of his sister. And you know how they say like shark eyes just are like dead, you know, just like there's no soul in there. Yeah, totally. Just like they're just a killing machine. Mm-hmm. That's the feeling I get looking at his sister, man.
Really?
She just looks like a straight psychopath.
Well, you put in those terms. Now I got to see.
Yeah.
What's her name?
Your
first name?
One second. It's Kim Jong's sister.
Kim Jong.
I'll, that's crazy. Her name's not in this article. No, Kim Yo Jong. Kim Yo Jong.
Jong. Okay. Kim Yo.
Like Yo MTV Raps.
Oh, Yo. Cool. IMP. Let's see here. Kim Yo Jong. Let's see here. Oh, gosh. Look at that. Irish Times. Kim Jong. Wait a minute. Let's see here. Kim Jong Un's sister takes a wrecking ball to South Korea relationship. Wrecking ball, huh? And looking at the pic. Oh, snap. You think she's ever smiled a day in her life?
You know all the horrible things they talked about Kim Jong Un doing, like feeding his uncles to dogs and assassinating, or you know, like
assassinating his brother. Yeah.
Yeah.
Was that her idea?
Just imagine, but I don't know. But just imagine what this chick would do, man.
I mean, maybe it was his idea. Maybe she was whispering in his ear because he kind of looks like, you know, chubby and jolly and, you know, maybe it's the evil sister on the, in the, hey, you know, uncle's been talking smack about you again. Let's feed him to the dogs. Yeah. I mean, she has that look about her.
She does.
Oh, I've got to stop looking at this chick.
I know. So yeah, I don't know. I came across that. It jogged my memory. I was like, oh yeah, I forgot about North Korea. And,
it's funny because I remember I think the last time there was like a Trump summit with in North Korea, they ended up having all these positive puff pieces about his sister.
Well, that's what I was going to say, but I didn't. I didn't watch them, and I don't remember. But I thought I heard people say that she was like the belle of the ball at Winter Olympics or something like that.
Yes, yeah, like whatever Olympics it was. I think the Korean team, like the hockey team, the two Koreas had one hockey team, and apparently she was all over that. But yeah, she got some good press.
It's interesting. It's like something's going on, but I don't know if it got put on the back burner for the 2020 or not. I mean, I mean, the American press used to be all about North Korea, and now we hadn't heard about him until this. So, and it kind of makes me sad. I had really hoped that North Korea and South Korea could have. I know it's pie in the sky thinking. I guess
it's pie in the sky, and you've got the big neighbor China, who definitely does not want that.
Right.
You don't want a united Korea that's friendly to the United States on China's border. China, that's like China's worst nightmare. They would much rather have Kim Jong crazy running an unstable dictatorship than a strong. Yeah.
Yep, you're right.
So, yeah. Nice guy, Brian. Back to Lala Land.
Me and my Pollyannish thoughts.
Polly.
Let's talk about, so this is someone that you had mentioned this before the show, and I can't believe that in our six shows so far, in a presidential election year, that we haven't talked about Joe Biden.
That is strangely telling.
It is strangely telling. And it's egg on our face because he's apparently leading in all the polls.
Yeah, but nobody believes that. I mean, some people believe it, but yeah, there are serious people, no honest people. I mean, after what happened in 2016, why would anyone listen to a poll?
Yeah, polls, and really polls at this far out don't mean anything. But, yeah. But you're right. That's what they're reporting. But what do you think about it? I know that in our off mic conversations, I've referred to Joe Biden. What they're doing to him is like elder abuse, is what I'd always considered it. It's just
elder abuse.
Elder abuse. He is like, I know.
I mean, they're not like, making him. I mean, they're not like, not changing his diapers and making him, stay in a soiled bed or, taking his social security checks or anything like that.
It's not that bad.
I don't want to go. I just want to watch Matlock go and make this speech, Joe. Oh, Matlock.
I wish we had the setup, and we'll get there, but I wish I had a setup that I could play clips. Because I could find it, but there's a clip of Joe Biden out there. Because people, people rightfully ask, I don't know when this was recorded though, but there's a clip of him describing his medical problems. I mean, he obviously was talking to people he felt comfortable talking to. And he described, I mean, them cutting the top of his head off and doing whatever. And he's had major issues health-wise. And
wait a second. Did you say cutting the top of his head off?
Yeah.
Were you watching what? Silence of the Lambs, where the guy, eat the other guy's brains and has him with a side of
lima beans. That's the sequel to Silence of the Lambs. Yeah,
part two.
Ray Liotta was the guy.
Oh, snap! I like Ray Liotta.
He's the one that's sitting there talking to Hannibal Lecter while he's feeding him his brains.
Oh, crap.
This is Joe Hyde. Taking the podcast in a dark turn tonight, folks. That's Joe this time.
Well,
But anyway, it's not surprising that that Joe might seem to have these mental lapses, because I don't know. There has to be some side effect. First of all, there's got to be reasons that they're going into your brain like that. There has to be side effects of that kind of operation, man.
It says Joe Biden survived two brain aneurysms in the late 80s.
Wow.
Most people don't get to you know, survive one.
No, my second grade teacher, she lost her son to a brain aneurysm. It's like I really it just figured they were that was like a one and done type of a thing. You don't you don't get second chances.
I guess you do if you're Joe. Mm. You need to go scratch a lottery ticket. You got things going off in your head. You get to survive.
That's what happens when those elite globalists make those deals, make those Luciferian deals, and get them unusually long, prolonged lives. It's I believe that's a thing.
Luciferian deals. Who else would you say has made, had a Luciferian deal is going to live to well past the name when they should?
Well, John McCain, he lived way past his expiration date.
He was a walking sack of flesh. I remember watching some videos of him, and his handlers had everything but a dog leash around his neck.
He should have expired a decade ago. Nancy Pelosi is one.
She looks like a stiff wind might do her in.
Yeah.
You're like, oh man, poor Nancy, what happened?
You know, when she did that whole kneeling photo op, I was like, don't do it, Nancy. I was seriously waiting for her to fall.
Or need help getting back up.
And as I understand it, she did need help getting back up.
Oh yeah.
But I have anxiety. Like I don't care who they are. Even I don't care for Nancy Pelosi at all. But I did not want to see her fall. I have like anxiety. That's why I don't go to strip clubs anymore.
Really? The connection. Did you see a stripper fall?
No, but I'm waiting to. Strippers nowadays, they're just like they got to do like these gymnastic routines. And so I'm sitting there. I should be enjoying myself. There's this chick 15 feet up in the air, holding onto this pole with her ankles, and I'm just like, this bitch is going to fall and break her neck. I'm like, get down.
You don't want to be a witness to that. It's kind of ruined the entire evening.
It does. That's just how Brian is wired, man. That just sends my anxiety levels through the roof.
Yeah, I would have never thought of that. Literally, the last thing.
Yeah.
It took BC Newman to bring that to my attention. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome, Joe. I like to expose my inner fucked upness, whatever you call it, to entertain.
I just call it quirk, but
quirk, yeah. And I somehow managed to talk about Nancy Pelosi and strippers in the same
sentence, same thought stream.
I think that's a sign that maybe we need to move on to the and end this thing.
Well, no, I mean that was brilliant.
When I was watching, I didn't want her to fall, and I was afraid she was going to just, as she kneeled down, she'd just keep on going. I didn't see anybody close enough to grab her, so she was going to, the dentures were going to fly.
Oh, that'd be awful. Awful.
But, yeah. anyway, Joe Biden, it's a... I'll leave it with this. It's almost like the Democrat Party doesn't want to win this election because there are plenty of better. And Joe never outperformed anyone during the primaries. Pretty much everyone who took aim at him drank his milkshake, as they would say, and. But yet everyone else dropped out and he was left.
Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Oh, you seem like you just went out.
Oh.
Well, you're still here.
Okay. Yeah, it just seemed like everyone
Just took turns having their way with him.
Took turn at him, but they all dropped out, and he stuck around. So it tells me that
that was the craziest thing. Like it went from like you're like eight people running to like within like 2 days, you know, four or five of them has dropped out and said, "Okay, Biden." People that were beating him, people that were embarrassing him on stage, like, "Oh yeah, he's the guy now."
Yep.
All those guys got kicked out.
And so now people who are demanding that he has a black female vice president, you had a chance to have a black female president.
Yeah, I think that's the dumbest thing ever. No, I'm serious. Like, you know, when's the last time I said, you know what, I'm going to vote for the vice president?
You're that's right. You don't vote for the vice president.
They're a spare.
So,
at worst.
Yeah, it's a crazy. This is just a weird election. It's like I'm sure there's some crazy stuff going on behind the scenes, but we'll never be privy to it. But I'd sure like to see what it is.
It's probably a joke, like or a bet. Like, hey, you know what? Do you think we could, you know, get approximately 50% of the people to 49% of the people to vote for, you know, Joe Biden? You ever see the movie? Yeah, was it movie with
Trading Places?
Yes, Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, I was thinking of that as you
Mortimer
was,
and
you were saying it.
Yeah. What was the other brother's name?
I don't know.
Yeah, drew a blank.
But that was as soon as you said that, that's what jumped to mind.
Elder abuse. And you know, the Democrats just have decided they're not serious about winning. They're not serious about beating Donald Trump.
For some reason, maybe they feel like that if he's there, that they can use him to chip away at the House and Senate. Maybe I don't know.
That's a terrible reasoning. At very best, he's great for their fundraising. You put a picture of Trump on any type of fundraising mail, and money comes back.
Well, money talks and bullshit walks, right?
Yeah.
All right, Joe, we got to wrap this up, man. We're already at an hour and a half.
Holy smoke!
I think our aspirations of keeping this at a tight 1 hour podcast is out the door.
Yeah,
but that's all right. We're fun to listen to, and we talk about fun stuff. Damn it!
That's right. Hey, speaking of fun stuff,
this is I had asked you before if you were familiar with LARPing, and this is going to. You said you'd heard of it, but you weren't really familiar with it, and this is going to really. Every time I do stuff like this, I expose more of my inner nerddom. I guess, but
well, yeah, you're putting on a show today, you know.
LARPing is LARP, and it's an acronym. It stands for Live Action Role Play.
Okay.
And this goes back to around the 80s when Dungeons and Dragons was big, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dungeons and Dragons was a role playing game. And so people would literally do live action role playing where they would, instead of their playing their characters on a sheet of paper, they would dress up as their characters in real life, and they would go out and find a forest or a woods or whatever where they wouldn't run into civilization. And they would play out these Dungeons and Dragons fantasies, and and so that continues. Sadly, yeah,
wow.
Probably everything from pimply teenage kids to pimply middle-aged adults.
Terrible,
But this persists even today. With instead of Dungeons and Dragons, it's replaced with, you know, all of the. All, you know, the video games that kids play, and And so what this takeover, and we're talking about the Seattle Chaz district, and what this really is like.
Why don't we tell people what the Chaz district is?
Well, I would hope that the people know, but if they don't, these Antifa people that we were talking about earlier, they managed because the police were told to stand down and let it happen, but they basically took over like what, 5 or 6 city blocks in the downtown district of Seattle. Is that right, Joe?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, they've essentially, like, in their own minds, they've made it their own country. They put walls around it. They put signs. It's like you are leaving the United States and entering the
autonomous zone.
Yeah, an autonomous zone. Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone, I think, is what Chaz stands for.
Oh. Wow.
But yeah, and they're just kind of like, their thoughts are that they was going to run it like it's their own place that they took over, and obviously they didn't think it through, but they did it. Aside from the horrible things that happen, I mean, people have died. I've heard that there's been rapes and just bad things happening inside there. But aside from all that, this is just it's like these spoiled little white kids doing their, this is just a, it's like they're,
it's like they're playing, they're country.
LARPing. They're LARPing. And this is their live action role play of taking over, completing a mission in one of their games, taking over a city block or something, or taking over a country. Yeah.
And I'm sorry to be so predictable, but you probably have a pretty strong idea as to what I think about this. I think this is just another example of white privilege.
The funny thing about that is, although, and I say it's funny, but it's also pretty cool to be a warlord of, this black SoundCloud rapper has declared himself a warlord of Chaz, and last I heard, he ran it with an iron fist, but that was last week when they had supplies and whatnot. I think
fast forward to next week.
Yeah, I'm not sure what where things stand right now, but
I wonder if they started printing their own money.
I don't know. I heard that they was like trying to plant communal gardens, but no one knows how to do it.
Yeah, especially in Seattle.
It was like they went to a park and just like, I don't know, put down canvas and tried to put dirt over. I don't know. But yeah, I don't think anyone, like I said, I don't think they thought this through all the way.
Next time.
So that's how I'm going to end the show, Joe. Is this all just a big LARPing expedition?
It's kind of like, it seems similar to, what's it called again? Those Wall Street people again.
The Occupy Wall Street.
Yeah. That's,
Yeah, it's similar to that. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And you remember how that ended, right?
You know, I don't.
Yeah, cops went through. It took about a half an hour, cleared them out, and then they opened up Wall Street again.
All right. Well, that's all that this is going to take. But it's just going to be Seattle is just a bastion of liberalism, and right now the mayor thinks that this needs to happen, and so eventually something will happen eventually, and yeah, it won't, I don't think, yeah, it will take very long.
I, I, I doubt they'll be here this time next month. Let's say that. Actually, you know, let's do that. What is this, third Thursday in June?
Yes, we got one more Thursday.
Yeah, let's touch back on this in the third Thursday of July.
Okay. Yeah, that'll be fun.
All right, cool. Well, we could talk about the aftermath.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's an interesting thought experiment. Anyway.
Exactly.
So, all right, Joe. I want to thank you again for meeting with me tonight. This has been fun.
It's always a good time.
And you know what? We're recording. We're recording this.
Are you sure?
I've checked, like, even though we both double checked before we started, throughout this entire conversation, I've flipped back to this screen probably 10 times just to make sure to see the little red circle that's recording.
Truth be told, that makes two of us.
Yeah. So, and I'd like to thank all of our millions of listeners out there who listen and
they listen and they comment. And so, yes, thank you also very much. Your comments are always welcome. I wish Brian could hear them. I think you would really like them. You would be heartened. Like, yeah.
I would be terrified, I think, to hear people talk about me. That's why I haven't asked you for your sister's Twitch handle, because I don't have the nerve to listen to me and then listen to people talk about me. I just couldn't do it. Well, I think I would, my head would explode or something. I don't know.
The masses love you. So yeah, I don't think you
would. Well, and I love the masses, but I think we need to maintain a safe space, we need to maintain our social distance, because I'm fragile.
Fragile.
My ego is fragile.
Delicate.
I hope I didn't offend any of my millions of fans.
I'm sure you offended a few. I mean, it's impossible to not. Yeah. Sure. If you're breathing, you're probably offending somebody. Somebody's pissed.
Yes. Well, I love you all anyway. Love you too, Joe.
Love you too, man.
No homo.
Zero. None of that. Actually, it's funny. Like, you know who? The guy who was the mayor? Sorry, the governor of Minnesota, Jesse the Body.
Yeah, Jesse the Body. Yeah.
His son has a TV show on the Russian propaganda network, and at the
RT,
RT. Yes. At the end of each show, he signed off saying, "I love you," because he says people don't hear it enough, which is true, which is really true.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with telling your friends that you love them. You know, you love them just in a different way.
Yeah,
you know, it's all good.
Yeah. Speaking of love, I would love to be eating.
All right, message received, sir. Take care, Joe. I'll talk to you.
Take care, Brian. It's good time. Next week.
Yes, sir. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.